Now, what I'm teaching this morning is something that I'm sure is familiar. There's many doctrines, and they continued in the apostles' doctrines. Doctrine means teaching. Evangelists can come and they can evangelize. Pastor has the responsibility of feeding the sheep. Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep." And so that responsibility of a pastor is to feed the sheep and to make sure that the sheep are well established and well balanced. So many teachings in the scripture, so many valuable things that will help you in your life. And one of them we are experiencing this morning was the fact that if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you and pray over you. That's a doctrine. That's a teaching. We believe in divine healing. We believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. We believe the moving of the Spirit of God in the midst of a corporate body and also personally, individually in your life. We are a Spirit-filled church, filled with the baptism of God's Spirit into your life. To be born again is being born of water and of Spirit, being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and being infilled with His Spirit. The old man dies away, and a new man comes on the scene. And that new man is nourished by the Spirit of God that dwelleth inside of you. Paul reminded the church that, "Know you not, you are the temple of God. God dwelleth in you." Doesn't mean you will not have any struggles. Does not mean that you will not be tempted. Does not mean that things will go just smoothly every day of your life. What it does mean is that God gives you the power and the ability to overcome it. We overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. And so we're able to get through that. Without it, there is a struggle. Without it, you do not have any deep understanding of the scriptures. God opens that up to us through His Spirit. Marvelous things, the revelation of God and other things. I'm going to teach you a doctrine this morning. A doctrine that is as important as any other doctrine or teaching that you'll find in the scriptures. It's so important. It's not a doctrine that you can take or leave. It's a teaching that we need to take to our hearts. It is something that is important as any other apostolic doctrine. It's a direct teaching. It's an essentiality. It's so important that it could keep you from making heaven. And I know we all want to go to heaven. Yeah. Y'all want to be saved. Really do. Your Bibles with you this morning. You follow along the reading of the scripture found in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Gospel of John 10, verse 10. And then we'll be going to the Old Testament and take a scripture from Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Now the thief in this scripture is referring to Satan, the devil. Nickname Old Slewfoot, if you want to go that direction. The devil, the arch enemy of your soul, the one that God came to robe in flesh and take that flesh to the cross of Calvary to destroy the influence and the impact that Satan tries to have over people's lives. Here Jesus calls that fallen archangel a thief. Because Satan is always out to steal from you the joy that God wants to put in your life. He wants to steal from you day by day. You can come to church on a Sunday and leave here uplifted and encouraged and have the victory. And then by nightfall or Monday, the thief tries to break into your spirit and steal away the joy. Some people come to the conclusion, if I don't praise him or I don't worship him, if I don't pray against him, then nothing's going to happen to me. I've got news for you. It rains on the just and the unjust. Problems come to those in the body of Christ and to those that are outside the body of Christ. And guess who causes it all? It's the thief. It's the thief. Let's finish this. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus now is speaking about himself. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is bringing a stark difference between Satan and himself. Between the arch enemy of every man and woman's soul and God, who first breathed it into the nostril of Adam when God created him from the dust of the earth. God breathed into nostrils of Adam. He became a living soul. Satan came along, as it tells us in the scripture, as a serpent. He was there to steal. He was there to destroy relationships between God's creation and God. Don't ever forget, Satan will always do what he does to steal from you your life, to kill your spirit, to kill your soul, to destroy your relationship with your Creator. So we're trying to understand what Jesus was talking about when he said that they might have it more abundantly. I want to teach you a doctrine this morning. Most of you know this doctrine. Most of you are aware of it, but you may not have fully fulfilled this doctrine, fully adhered to the teaching of this. And so today, this morning, I want to focus on this thought. Open windows. Open windows. The abundant life of open windows. There is a teaching in the scriptures. There is a doctrine that tells us that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. How many likes that doctrine? How many likes those windows to be opened up and pour out blessings? And I want to share a scripture with you that I believe will help us here this morning. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you, that's personally, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That is a doctrine just as much as Acts 2:38. It's a doctrine just as much as your standard in relationship showing the holiness of God in your life. This doctrine will cause the windows of heaven to open up. Let me make a disclaimer here this morning. We do not own stock in Amazon, nor any vitamin company. But I agree 100% with Brother Fugate. The natural is better than a manufactured. How do I know that? Because I take a lot of natural vitamins, natural supplements. That's why I look so young. If you won't say it, I'll say it for myself. Okay. My gray hair gives me away, Dave. It just does. But nevertheless, we have a lot of manufactured things out there in that world trying to convince you that the things of the Scripture, which is naturally given by God, the devil tried to tell Eve that God did not want her to be as smart as he was. That was a manufactured lie. The truth is, God will give you the knowledge and the ability to understand things that he wants you to understand about his kingdom, about his name, about his authority, about the power of the blood. The world, as you see, is trying to take away or steal away the relationship and the knowledge of a doctrine that is so powerful that it will cause heaven to respond to you day by day and will cause you to be blessed. See, when you are blessed, you're not going around as if you are forlorn or forsaken, because the word of God, and the devil does not want you to know this or keep it in your memory, but God will bless you and cause you to be prosperous and cause you to be well in your spirit. You see, the abundant life of an open windows. Before we continue, I should probably define the term blessed. What does a life filled with blessings look like? You see, being blessed means having supernatural power working for you. A blessed man or a blessed woman may or may not be wealthy by the world's standards, but they will enjoy a quality of life that most billionaires would even envy to have. Because in God there is peace that passes all understanding, and there is a strength and anointing that walks with you day by day. There is a spiritual law that is promised from God to open up the windows of heaven. You do not have to live in spiritual poverty. You do not have to live in spiritual danger. You do not have to live in a life that seems so dark and crowded into. Come on, somebody. Give me an amen somewhere along the line. Don't you know it? It's truth. It's strange to me that the Scriptures here refer to windows. You don't usually pass through things and comprehend things through a window. I came in this morning and all the window blinds were closed. It was dark in here. If I wanted to see to go from my office up to the front office, I had to turn on the side lights to see. It was that dark. So I opened up the windows. There's a difference between manufactured light and real true light. When I open up the shades, let the natural come in, I could see clearly and plainly. You cannot live in a world that tries to manufacture light to you. You have to get the real, genuine light that God has made. He is the light that shineth in dark places. He is the light that shineth in your heart and your spirit through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. He said he's going to open you the windows of heaven. Revelations 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." The secret is you have to open up yourself to the true doctrine that God wants to give you. Here in Malachi, it mentions windows. Let's think about this for a moment. What is a window used for? First of all, it lets light to come in a dark place at the due time. I like walking in the light. How about you? Amen. I don't like darkness. I've heard people say, "I wish it was morning already." Why? Because darkness seems to be forlorn and an empty place. But when the light breaks in the morning time, there is hope in the morning. This is why you may weep during the nighttime, but when the sun comes up in the morning, it's a brand new day of His mercies and of His grace and His wonderful, wonderful presence. Without the light, you have a sad place to walk. You fumble around in darkness. That's why some of you can't make decisions to live for God or live for the world. Because if you're living in a darkness, you're fumbling around. You can't make your mind up. In darkness, sometimes you got to create something that's artificial in order to be able to have some clear vision. But a window does more than bring light into a dark situation. It also gives you a view outside of your circumstances. You may only be able to see what is happening within your circumstances. But when you step up to the window, you will get a much different view than what you had before. You will get a much clearer understanding of the circumstances that surround and ultimately control your life. I think of the old pioneers. In fact, I look at myself as an old pioneer. I'm not that old, I just look at myself that way. Why? Because old pioneers, and I remember as a child waking up in the morning in the farmhouse, you would find what was water in a bowl left on the table frozen. Anybody remember that? How many old timers do we have in here? Just me and you, Lord, we're just old. The water on the table from the night before would have ice on it or frozen. That's why I'm so happy for modern day. I appreciate carpet so very, very much. I love waking up in the morning and putting my feet on carpet because linoleum is terribly cold. Wood floors are terribly cold in the morning time. I'm thankful for thermostats. Don't have to go out to the coal house and fill up a bucket of coal and carry it in and put it in the stove. Amen? You see, they wouldn't understand what was causing the ice if they didn't look out the windows to see that winter had arrived. The windows let them see what season they were in, so they knew how to dress and what to do inside and outside the cabin to be able to survive what the windows was showing them. You see, your eyes are the windows to your soul, the scripture says. When you look at things, you need to look through the anointed eyes of the Spirit of God that lives and dwells inside of you. It opens up your understanding to see what's going on in the world, what's happening all around your life. But see, a window does more than show you what is immediately outside. It also shows you what is off in the distance. Let's see that next picture, please. I like big windows. I like for the windows to show light. But I like to see out in the distance. I got up yesterday morning and Sister Cox was so sick. I looked out the windows. I wanted to see what the day was like. How much snow, how much ice was on the ground out there. And what to my wondering eyes behold, I saw in the distance a deer, a little baby deer lying in the snow. And I'm thinking, hey, bud, you need to get up. Aren't you cold? And then there was a mama deer standing there, standing so strong and elegant, eating my trees. If you come to my house, you'll see the back line of my trees. You can see how high their head goes right straight across without any deviation is a straight line, and everything below that is chewed off. And then there was the third deer that arrived. And standing there with its mother. And I was telling her, hey, look. She'd go, what? Hey, look, there's deers out there. You see, there's things that will excite you if you can look out into the distance. Don't shut your life off. Don't close the blinds on your heart and your spirit. God wants you to open up and look through the windows of anointed eyes and spirit and look beyond the present moment and the present day and see what God can do. It shows you mountains that may be off in the distance, rivers, streams, forests, all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of possibilities. Opportunities that other people pass by every single day, but you don't pass them by because there are windows that are open in your soul, in your spirit. Options that other people never get to consider. Promises and potential that people without open windows never get a chance to see. Jesus said, when referring to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, death shall fall. Fall. Both shall fall in the ditch. You know why some are struggling? Because you fall into a ditch. You didn't see the trap the devil was setting for you. You didn't sense it. Jesus is referring to religious teachers who could not see all that Jesus was offering the people. You may be here this morning and say, well, it's just church. It's just religion. No, it's far, far greater than that. Far greater than that. Jesus isn't offering you religion. He's offering you life, and that more abundantly. More abundantly than drugs will do. More abundantly than alcohol will do. More abundantly than smoking yourself to death. More abundantly than drugs. If you want a high, get filled with the baptism of the Spirit of God. That high will never leave you. You don't have to look for a needle. You don't have to cook down anything. Look at the terribleness when people are on meth, how they look after a period of time using meth. They become wrinkled and they become old. God gives you life. Young life in your spirit. There's no old man living there. There's a young man in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Because there's no death in him. Only life. No death in Jesus, only life. Am I preaching to myself? Am I preaching to the first three rows here? Hey, in the back row, am I preaching to you back there? How about on this side over here? Woo! Hallelujah! Teachers of the Scriptures who themselves had no ability to see the promises of God. I've made my mind up. I've had for a long time. I do not want negative people around me. I do not want negative people around me. Don't tell me the sky is falling until it falls on me, and then I'll know. People will tell you things that will cause you to doubt. You cannot receive when you doubt. That's like closing the windows. You can't see the possibilities, the awesomeness of what God wants to do. And Jesus said, they are like blind people leading blind people. And when this happens, they both fall into the ditch. Don't follow somebody that has no hope. Don't follow anybody that doesn't have a life living inside of them. Come on. Why did they fall in the ditch? Because there was no vision. And where there is no vision, the people perish, right? And there was especially no spiritual vision in Israel. And Malachi speaks of the windows of heaven being open. He is saying that God is going to begin to show you some things that will keep you from falling into the ditch. And for some people, that's the light coming into the room, into your heart, into your spirit. Have you ever been in a ditch? Literally, I mean, it's like a physical ditch. I was coming into church Wednesday night. Fog was heavy. When I got to town, it wasn't quite as heavy, but coming in out of the country, I went off the road twice because I couldn't see the road. So I got thinking about some of you guys who are driving so far and the dense fog, and so I said, okay, last minute, let's cancel service. Did I want to do that? Not really, but it was for the safety. It was for those who's going to have to drive through, those who are faithful was going to be here regardless. But I'm thinking, why put their life at risk? God was perhaps thinking, all of the trouble, all of the sin, all of the thievery of people's soul and spirit that's been stolen away from them, I won't leave that to chance. I'll come overshadow a woman, a virgin, and she's going to bring forth a body that I can dwell in, and I will personally come and feel the pain and the sorrow and the hurt and the danger. I'll die on the cross of Calvary as a person unworthy, but I will die for the sins of men. And then we act like it's no big deal. Drugs are more important than being saved. Can I tell you, the Bible tells us that hell is going to be hot. Torturous. You don't need a man-made doctrine. You need a doctrine that comes, or the teaching that comes from the Word of God. Okay? In the third century, men who were living in darkness came up with a teaching. And when you're in darkness, you will move away from truth. Why will you move away from it? Because you become dark and you no longer can find it. Amen. You know what you need when you find yourself blind and stuck in a ditch? Someone who has some vision to lead you out. Well, how do we know that they've got vision? If what they're teaching, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's your measuring by. It is the Word of God. Come on, somebody. If they're teaching any other doctrine, Paul said this to the New Testament church, if they're teaching some other doctrine, then they are accursed. Yeah, they are. He said, why are you falling away? Why are you just wandering off here? Something's wrong here. What caused you to walk away or back up from the teaching or the doctrine? If you've ever been in a ditch, both physically and spiritually, your life has felt stuck. Muck and mire is what you find in a ditch. Ruts that don't let you climb out are in a ditch. Blind people are in a ditch. Complaining about how bad life is, they're in a ditch. And how hard it is to get out of the ditch. And how many times they've tried to get out of the ditch and failed. You know what you need when you find yourself blind and stuck in a ditch? Someone who has some vision to lead you out. Someone to tell you the truth about your circumstances, whether you want to hear it or not. Someone who will shed some light on your situation so you can see what you need to do to get out of the ditch. You need some heavenly windows to open up in your life where light can shine into your spirit and vision can return to see how good God really is, and a perspective of what God can do for your life, and insight can either change the situation, change your life. Abraham in the Bible is called the father of the faithful. In fact, Hebrews 11 counts the great faith that Abraham had in God. But God had to teach Abraham how to have faith. Had to show him how to have faith. And when we find the beginning of this story in Genesis chapter 12, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Notice, he had to get out from where he was to get to where the blessings was going to be. You have to get out of that life that you have been living and get into a place that God will show you, which is the kingdom of God. Verse 3 says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Wonderful promises. Wonderful promises. But he had to get out of the land that he was living in. You have to get out of that stale place that you're living. You have to get out of that non-compliance life that you're living. You have to get out of that life that you seem to be fighting just, I can't make my mind up, either live for God or live for the world. You see, when you're living for the world, you're living for yourself. And when you live for yourself, then you take on your own self-views and your own self-righteousness and your own self-predicaments, and God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that, and you make up your own doctrine, and after a while you see it so long to yourself you begin to believe it. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. God told Abraham, I'm going to show you a place I want you to live. What is that place? It's a place of promise and possibilities. A place where you and your family are going to be blessed. A place of greatness. A place where curses are going to fall off your life. A place where people are going to go out of their way to bless you. And when they do, God said, I'm going to bless them. He's going to bless people because they blessed you. In other words, you found favor. Instead of being surrounded by people who are stuck in a ditch, you're going to find yourself surrounded by people who are blessed because of you and the great faith that you have in God. Instead of hearing all the murmurings and all the things you hear in the ditch, you're going to hear the testimonies of people who have had some light and vision come into their life. Some people who've had some miracles happen in their life. I like to be around people who had some miracles in their life. I like to be around people who God has healed in their physical body. I like to be around people who God has healed their spirit, but not the same man or the woman they used to be. Amen. Wherever Abraham put his foot, he was prospered. God gave him the land he walked into for inheritance for his children and their children's children. If you expect your children to have any kind of inheritance, they've got to understand you walked in a land that God blessed and blessed you for walking in that land. Malachi 3:10 says, "And poured you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." While you're looking to win the lotto, while you're, you know, I was listening to the radio, and some person, I don't know, male or female, won the Mega Millions, $450 million. What would you do with that kind of money? I would find me a Folger coffee can and bury it in the ground out back of the house. Or build a building out here. Yeah. Oh, we're already praying that God would do something out there in this world when He's already doing inside of you. If you gain, the scripture says, the whole world and lose your soul, what have you gained? Not a thing. Room enough, that's not just talking about quantity. It's talking about space, area, capacity. God wasn't just promising us a quantity. He was promising to bless us in all the different areas of our life. In other words, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And some people think that Malachi 3:10 is just talking about God's blessing on your finances. He's not just talking about your finances. He's talking about your home, your marriage, your relationship with other family members, your children, your job, those you work with, those you do business with, those you buy from, your church, the areas of ministry that you're involved in, your time availability to serve others as well. Malachi 3:10 doesn't just say window. God doesn't just promise to open up one window of finance. He promised to open up the windows, many of them, windows of heaven, all kinds of areas of your life that He would like to bless you in, all kinds of ways you never imagined before, ways you never thought possible, ways you never seen other people get blessed. Let's see the next slide, please. And the next one. I want to get to some windows. It's the next one. Give me some more windows. Ah! I like that window. But He's going to do more than that. He's not open up one window just to... See, we talk about Malachi 3. Oh, He's going to be talking about tithes. I'll get to that in a moment. Just hang in there. Windows. Windows. Does your family need a blessing? Does your relationships need blessings? Plenty of opportunities. New ways of looking at things. Some ways right up close to you. In fact, they are already available to you. You just need someone to shine a light on them, and God wants to shine them. In other ways, they're off in the distance. For some this morning, they're not available to you just yet, but they're going to be. They're there, but there's a few things up front that need to happen in your life first before you can get to the blessings in the distance. Remember, there's not going to be room enough to receive it. I don't know about you, but I like to get to the point where I say, stop, I can't take. When I first heard our now president, you're going to get tired of winning. You're just going to say, I can't take it anymore. Have you ever told God, God, don't bless me anymore. I can't take it. My pockets are full. My spirit is full. How many of us here recently told God, stop blessing me. I can't take it anymore. I don't see your hands waving. How many want more blessings? Come on, hold your hand. Want more blessings? The next question I have to say, have you been fumbling around in the dark? For someone, light is starting to appear. We can call a revelation. You're seeing something you've never seen before, a new understanding. Others can't see what you see, but you see it because a heavenly understanding has been opened to you. This amazing doctrine, this amazing truth. I'm amazed sometimes how some people can't see what is right in front of them, but it's because they are not letting God open the windows of heaven to them. And I wonder what God has for your life today, right now, right now. Something that is right in front of you, and you have been able to not see it. But there it is. You see, your doctrine of your giving works like the doctrine of forgiveness. If you're not willing to forgive someone of their sins and trespasses, God said He will not forgive you. This doctrine says, if you will, if you will pay your tithes, not hit and miss, but 100% of your tithes. You say, I knew that church, they're just after money. Honey, you have fallen in a ditch. Well, I'll pay them if I've got anything left over. Friend, you're in a ditch. If you're not willing to forgive, God cannot forgive you. If you're not willing to give 10% back to Him, He is not opening up the windows of heaven for you. That is such an important doctrine that it determines your blessings in your life. Would a man rob God? Guess what? No robbers are going to be in heaven. I don't have it. Could be because the window is not opened. Well, I'll give God some. I'll give God a little. Guess what's coming back? Guess what's coming back to you? Those are gifts. Isn't it amazing when you teach this how quiet it gets? No one is shouting and running the aisles. But we all want to go sweeping through the pearly gates, huh? Amen. If you obey that doctrine, I'm here to tell you for a surety that God will open up the windows. The windows of heaven. So when you feel like you're in a ditch, you've fallen off somewhere, you've got to examine the doctrine. Sometimes you got to search your heart, search your spirit. You cannot outgive God. How many knows that? You cannot outgive God. And God said, well, I'm only going to give you because, you know, I've got so many billions of people to bless. And if I bless everybody 100%, so maybe I'll just give you a 2% blessing. I mean, because you gave 2%. I'll give you a 3% blessing. Man, I don't feel the blessings of God today. Could be because you forgot to bless God. Do you like this teaching? It's a great... You say, Pastor, why are you teaching this on Sunday morning? Because y'all don't show up on Wednesday night. This is the only time I get the hold of you. I have to take you when I can get you. Wednesday nights for Bible study, deep things in the Word of God, the deep things of the Word. But you see, I'm a pastor. I'm going to teach you how the Spirit works. If you open up, your giving sheet. How many did you receive your financial giving this year? Huh? And you open up that and you look at it and you're hoping that no one else sees it. Not that you should be walking around bragging or anything. I'm not talking about that. But if you open it up and you become ashamed what you gave, you need to put that on the altar and say, God, I may not have been faithful, but in 2018, I want to be faithful because I want to have blessings that I cannot contain. I want blessings in my marriage relationship. I want blessings in my family. I want blessings in my workplace. If you had $1 million, you know what you would do with it. You'd pay off this bill and that bill and this bill and that bill and try to get debt free. Am I right? You wouldn't really put it all in a Folger coffee can and bury it. You'd try to pay off all of the bills and things that you owe. Okay. You see, the scripture says, try me. Try me. Anybody know how the rest of that goes? Try me. And see. Boy, I need out of this situation. I need God's help. God will help you. I'm not saying that He will not help you. But there is a doctrine of 10% of your income. And it's amazing through history of time that God has never raised it. Government will raise your taxes. Government will raise your taxes. Sales tax will go up. Gas tax will go up. He has never raised what he started with. I'm going to make a statement. This may not be a Sunday morning statement. Let me. If everybody paid just their tithes, we could build that building out there. Does it sound like me? Somebody's not paying their tithe. You guys catch on quick. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you till Jesus comes. And after that, it's up to Jesus. I'm going to watch over you until Jesus comes. And after that, it's up to Jesus. My responsibility is to feed the sheep, to make sure they're healthy, to see that the windows of heaven is opened up. It doesn't make you shout and dance the aisles, does it? It should. It should. Because the windows of heaven is based upon a doctrine. Based upon a doctrine. Man, can I give an altar call in this kind of a situation? Let me tell you what. God loves you. And He wants you to open up, if you have not, open up your heart so He can come into it. He wants you to lay down every sin, every doubt, every chain it seems like your life is bound by. Because He wants to break the chain and set you free. It is the devil, it is Satan who has come to steal, to rob, to destroy. Jesus said, in contrast to that, I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. We like to quote that last part of the scripture about Him blessing abundantly, and we don't pay attention to the first part of that, that Satan, the thief, is going to come and try to steal away and destroy. This morning, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, I'm here to tell you that is a tremendous doctrine. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there any other name given among men under heaven whereby they must be saved. What a tremendous doctrine. It's a doctrine of how your sins can be washed away and covered, and God can throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. And then that doctrine where He wants to open up all the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. If you have been faithful, if you've been faithful over a few things, guess what He's going to do? He will make you rulers. Make you rulers. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we?